30. A ghost! Cried Tom. No, said a voice. Just me. The ghastly light flowed into the dark apple-scented bedroom. A quart-sized mason jar, seemingly suspended upon space, flickered many twilight-colored flakes of light on and off. In this pallid illumination, Douglas's eyes shone pale and solemn. He was so tan his face and hands were dissolved in darkness, and his nightgown seemed a disembodied spirit. My gosh, hissed Tom. 2 dozen, 3 dozen fireflies. Shh, for cry-eye. What do you got 'em for? We got caught reading nights with flashlights under our sheets, right? So nobody'll suspect an old jar of fireflies. Folks'll think it's just a night museum. Doug, you're a genius. But Doug did not answer. Very gravely he placed the intermittently signaling light source upon the night table and picked up his pencil and began to write large and long on his tablet. With the fireflies burning, dying, and his eyes glinting with 3 dozen fugitive bits of pale green color, he block-printed for 10 and then 20 minutes, aligning and realigning, writing and rewriting the facts that he had gathered all too swiftly during the season. Tom watched, hypnotized by the small bonfire of insects leaping and furling within the jar, until he froze, sleeping, raised on elbow, while Douglas wrote on. He summed it all up on a final page. You can't depend on things because, like machines, for instance, they fall apart, or rust, or rot, or maybe never get finished at all, or wind up in garages. Like tennis shoes, you can only run so far, so fast, and then the earth's got you again. Like trolleys. Trolleys, big as they are, always come to the end of the line. You can't depend on people, because they go away. Strangers die. People you know fairly well die. Friends die. People murder people, like in books. Your own folks can die. So, he held on to a double fistful of breath, let it hiss out slow, grabbed more breath, and let it whisper through his tight-gritted teeth. So, he finished in huge, heavily blocked capitals. So, if trolleys and runabouts and friends and near friends can go away for a while, or go away forever, or rust, or fall apart, or die, and if people can be murdered, and if someone like great-grandma who was going to live forever can die, if all of this is true, then I, Douglas Spaulding, some day must. But the fireflies, as if extinguished by his somber thoughts, had softly turned themselves off. I can't write any more anyway, thought Douglas. I won't write any more. I won't finish it tonight. He looked over at Tom, asleep on his upraised elbow and hand. He touched Tom's wrist, and Tom collapsed into a sighing ruin, back upon the bed. Douglas picked up the mason jar with the cold, dark lumps in it, and the cool lights flicked on again, as if given life by his hand. He lifted the mason jar to where it shone fitfully on his summing up. The final words waited to be written. But he went instead to the window and pushed the screen frame out. He unscrewed the top of the jar and tilted the fireflies in a pale shower of sparks down the windless night. They found their wings and flew away. Douglas watched them go. They departed like the pale fragments of a final twilight in the history of a dying world. They went like the few remaining shreds of warm hope from his hand. They left his face and his body and the space inside his body to darkness. They left him empty as the mason jar which now, without knowing that he did so, he took back into bed with him when he tried to sleep.